we asked you to dream. The journey of a lifetime to a place of endless beauty. From lush vegetation to clear turquoise waters and sandy beaches. Our friendly people have been dreaming too, to welcome you to the safest environment possible. Experience Seychelles, our home, your sanctuary.
Aloha and good afternoon. My name is Jürgen Steinmetz, joining you from livestream.travel here in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. And with me today is Alain Saint-Ange, and I think a lot of those that are reading us and listening to us on eTurbo News, Alain is very well known. He's one of the tourism celebrities for many years. And we're going to go back some years actually today. And this is going to be a really, really interesting discussion. Alain Saint-Ange is based in the Seychelles, but it's another island. For those of you joining us here on Hawaii News Online, we actually have a sister, and the sister is in the Indian Ocean. And it's the island chain of the Seychelles. The only difference is Seychelles is an independent country, so they can do a lot more than what we can do here in Hawaii. And it's a beautiful country. It's I had the privilege of traveling to Seychelles, specifically during a time period when Alain Saint-Ange was actually the Minister of Tourism. And I'll never forget the time when I was once deplaning the aircraft in Honolulu on Qatar Airways, and they ask everyone to be seated landing because they have a VIP that needed to deplane. And I thought, who's in there? And I was sitting in business class. I was looking around. I said, what? I got to be an important person. And that VIP was me. And the foreign minister from Seychelles actually was the one who picked me up and apologized that Alain couldn't come to the airport to pick me up. And he says, well, in the Seychelles, the most important ministry is the Minister of Tourism. And that is so true. And it's also so true here in Hawaii. Tourism is our biggest industry, and I'm privileged to have Alain on our event today. Welcome, Alain. How are you?
Thank you very much, Jürgen. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, it's morning. It's morning where he is. It's evening here. We're on opposite time of the world, but our world is so much the same. Now, we're all worried. Just start with our big worry. I'm not going to talk about the weather because it's dark here, and your guys' day is just starting. But what is the situation with COVID and tourism in Seychelles at this time?
Well, I think the government of the day has been brave. They've reopened the Seychelles to the world of tourism. More brave because you can land here with or not with a vaccine. So you can really come here, do a PCR test, and land in Seychelles. But they have also, we must accept, tried to have as many Seychellois as possible to be vaccinated. And we need to keep on seeing that our people are vaccinated, a bit as a precaution against this COVID-19. Have we been successful entirely? No, because the new variants coming out affect new groups of people, even those with vaccines and those that are younger than the age who have been vaccinated. But the tourism has taken off. It has taken off. It's not reached the level that it needs because, never forget, Seychelles, the pillar of its economy, remains tourism. And it'll take years to move out of that. So we need, as Seychellois, to all rally to make the tourism industry of Seychelles work. And the sooner this can happen, the better the economy of the islands will be once again. But we get surges up and down, even though it has diminished a lot, but we still have surges. and it is COVID surges. And it is a bit sad for Seychelles today, because when you lose 1,000 people, you don't know them. In Seychelles, we lose one person who dies because of COVID. We all know the person or somebody related to the person. So it touches us personally much more than it would do in a bigger country. And we now have a population or a number of about 101 people that have died out of a population of some 100,000 people. So the numbers are here in a small way, pro rata to our population. And we need, as a people and as a country, to keep on understanding the health directives that we get. Be vaccinated, take care of ourselves, wear a mask, social distancing, and the likes.
Yes, and Alain, I can testify it here in our country, or specifically here in the state of Hawaii. We have a fairly high vaccination rate, and the Seychelles even, I think, has the highest vaccination rate in the world. So you guys are doing pretty good. And with 100,000 people, we have a little bit more than 13 or 14 times the number. We have 1.4 million people. And tourism, I can tell you, is absolutely booming. Our hotels are sold out, our flights are sold out, but we only have domestic tourism. And you guys, of course, have international tourism. There is not much of a domestic tourism industry within the Seychelles, but our domestic is the United States, which is a huge country. So our tourists are coming in from all over the US. We have new airlinks. But the scary part is probably similar to what you have in Seychelles, is our COVID numbers. We currently go through the highest spike of COVID with the Delta variant, even though we have a high vaccination rate. The only lucky situation of what maybe puts people at ease is the death rate is relatively low. Even though today we had four people dying, what is very high because we had many days where no one is dying. So it is definitely not over, it's not finished, but it looks like governments and states are no longer willing to put restrictions on, because the economy, the economic downfall is so dramatic in countries and in states that are relying on tourism. And I think Seychelles and us, we're pretty much in the same boat, aren't we?
See, we have to accept that COVID is going nowhere soon. And you cannot keep closing the world forever. We will have to operate within the constraints of COVID and keep moving. But I think every citizen of the world needs to be able to take their own responsibility, so that they can also say, I need to protect myself, in so doing, protect my family, and then protect the community at large. I think we will all have to change our mindset, our habits, and a bit of the laissez-aller attitude often, where we tend to say, it won't happen to me. It can happen to anybody. So we need to be able to think about it. But I'm also this morning, as I'm talking to you today, we need to look at how do we keep protecting ourselves? We hear after 6 months, we will need a third booster shot. The world of the medicine, the world of that devises and looks for ways for to move forward. The booster shots, are they automatic? When do we start taking them? After 6 months, after a year? We need to keep on being protected. So the world of medicine will have to come out and guide us soon. You cannot have, some countries still don't have any vaccines at all. Nobody has been vaccinated. Other countries like Israel going through booster shots now. We need to be able to guide the world and move together as one. The longer we live parts of the world with no vaccines, the more we will have variances popping up. And this will put us all back to square one. So how do we do that? I think it's a dialogue that needs to be done by the world, the community at large of the world. And we need to be able to start discussing it. And the superpowers, those that are part of the group that are more financially well off, must start deciding. They get affected as well when the world is affected. So we need to move fast to see how do we bring the booster shots, bring that third dose, look at the variances that are popping up. There are new ones popping up everywhere, and you keep hearing about them. They haven't made enough impact like Delta variants has done, but they will pop up and keep popping up.
And Seychelles is actually geographically, it's in the Indian Ocean, but it's part of Africa. And if you look at the whole of Africa, and Alain has a second title, he's actually the president of the African Tourism Board. And for Africa, of course, it's a very different situation than what we have here in the United States. In the United States, people are getting paid. I think in Hawaii, everyone who's getting the vaccine right now gets $100. In other US states, you can win $1 million. There's a lottery by the state if you get the vaccine, because we cannot convince enough people to get the vaccine. Now, wouldn't you wish you had this situation in Africa, where people are desperate in some countries to get vaccinated and they cannot get the vaccine? So how do you balance this?
If the Americans, if the United States of America realizes that they can be taking their $100 or winning $1 million and be vaccinated, but they can catch a new variant that can kill them unless the world at large is vaccinated. And I think this is the message that President Biden, his Congress, his administration must all understand. One country left by itself that is not vaccinated can have a new variant of COVID-19 that will touch America sooner or later. I could easily tell you, because you are part of the press that is read and understood everywhere, America should just adopt Seychelles and pay us all as well $100 to get all of us vaccinated. And I think that'll already help them. And then move to Madagascar, move to Mauritius, move to the other islands of the Indian Ocean, and progressively move into Africa, the mainland of Africa, and try and get the whole world vaccinated. We need to do it. We need to provide for it. And we need to work as one to get it done.
And this is really, everyone watching us now, you can see the leadership Alain is bringing to the world of tourism. And this is really the image. Alain was the Minister of Tourism from the Seychelles. He brought the world to the Seychelles. He actually introduced an international carnival where he invited, different carnivals from all over the world, including Trinidad and Tobago, Nottingham, Rio de Janeiro, and even my hometown, Dusseldorf and Cologne, was in the Seychelles celebrating with all of us the carnival. So this was a great move. And ever since, Alain is really more wearing a global hat. And he has proven this in being a speaker at many different international events. He just got back from Indonesia, correct? And helping actually an island group in Indonesia now to come out in tourism. And that's really where people see Alain. He is a global mover and shaker, someone we would love to have in the seat as a Secretary General of the World Tourism Organization. Many who read my publication know that we have been very critical towards the UNWTO. But I can say any article I've been involved in, I'm doing this because I believe that there is a problem in the World Tourism Organization. And unfortunately, the problem is developing in the wrong time. Right now, the world needs leadership. And there are a few leaders like Alain, maybe like Edwin Bartlett, the Minister of Tourism from Jamaica, who started the Global Resilience Center. There are a few guys out there in the world that are really taking leadership on their own and trying to help the world. But we need the leadership in the seat, for instance, of the Secretary General. And Alain was very close to be the man. And now, as time is progressing, he was a candidate actually for Seychelles in 2017 for the 2018 term for the UNWTO. And he was at the election in Madrid. I was there. And literally hours before this election took place, and Alain was very hopeful he would win this election and would eventually become the next Secretary General, he couldn't be voted for. What happened?
Well, the Seychelles government, when I say Seychelles government, the president of Seychelles, Mr. Danny Faure at that time, at the last hour, decided to write to Taleb Rifai, the outgoing Secretary General, to say we are pulling the paper that we've given, the endorsement paper, which makes you a candidate. We are pulling it out because we are being pressured by the African Union. It was the last hour of it, the last day before the elections. When I'd landed in Madrid with my family to be there for the elections, and sure of the votes that I was pulling, I got that message from the vice president of Seychelles to say, we are sorry, but we are withdrawing your candidature. My first cry for help was to call Taleb Rifai and to visit him in the office, which was opposite the road from where I was staying. So I went to Taleb and said, look, I am already on the ballot paper. Seychelles cannot take me out. It is impossible. I've worked hard. Today I have commitment letters from so many countries, and I know that I can pull it off. And he called the lawyer of the UNWTO, who advised him that no, until the elections have started, I can be pulled out. And without the endorsement letter, I cannot be a candidate. So in the arrival of my replacement, the Seychelles Minister of Tourism, we discussed that I be allowed to address the convention anyway, because I was already in Madrid, and I was one of those who had all the chances in the world of pulling out for Africa and for the world of tourism, the highest office of a minister possible, Minister of Tourism possible. So it was a sad day for Seychelles, a very sad day for Africa that keeps on getting the short end of the stick, and a big mistake by Seychelles, a massive mistake, and the legal, the judiciary of the islands have recently given me full justification for suing the government for damages to have pulled my name out at the last hour.
And there's a lot more to the story. Those that are reading eToba News, and we will include it in a story with this video as well, know what I called, I'm not going to put Alain's name into the smear, what I called a flawed election. In everything I know and I understand about the UNWTO election, things didn't go right. Now, one very critical part I wanted to ask Alain was, when his government took the endorsement back for you to run, you were told by the Secretary General, you said you went to his office, who then I believe was relying on Ms. Lopez, the legal advisor at the time, that you couldn't run, right?
Yes, exactly.
Now,
I was in the office when Taleb Rifai called the lawyer. I was sitting in his office and my family in the boardroom just next door. And I was there when he called the lawyer and they chatted for a while. And then I was informed it was impossible. My name was out and I would not be, even though I was on the ballot paper, I could not be a candidate.
Now, what would you say if hypothetically there's information, what's coming up to date, literally in the last few days, is that this information was false? And most likely, Ms. Lopez knew this information was false. If Ms. Lopez misguided Taleb Rifai, who was the Secretary General, then in return had to relate this message to you, what about if Ms. Lopez didn't say the right information? Now, we're going to add something to it. What could possibly add to this allegation? Of course, it needs to be proven. But what is very surprising is that Ms. Lopez has been promoted by the current Secretary General, Zurab, to a higher post and a higher salary and a higher position. Now, if we look back 3 years, and hypothetically someone in power who would know would say this information was deliberately given false, that would mean that the current Secretary General was really elected under circumstances he could have not be elected, the election should have not been moved forward. Or do I see this wrong?
You see, I am trying hard to put this UNWTO and African Union saga behind me. I'm really trying hard. It hurt me, It destroyed my career. It finished me off as that person who had worked very hard for the world of tourism to be a possible candidate. If really Miss Lopez knew that what she was saying was not true, then the United Nations as a body for the world, must say something. We cannot keep an organization that is an arm for tourism, for the world of the United World, to be able to mislead its member states. After the UNWTO saga, I said to myself, is UNWTO really ready to be that leader? Because when you can have such an election where somebody who puts his name down, instead of being encouraged, is cast out, is that fair? Is that right? And that is the feeling that I left with, bitter, which made me sue my own government, but bitter because we are not truly representing the world. We become a little group, we become a little clique, we do things for personal reasons and personal ambitions, and we forget that there are dedicated people who could make a difference, especially today with COVID. And I can say with a lot of humility, if I was sitting in Madrid, I would be today leading the world of tourism, leading the countries most affected, leading areas or continents that are being affected, to be that leader that they need today. And there are things that can be done, bringing aviation and tourism together to reopen within the context of ensuring vaccination is done and tests are done. But we are unable to move because the world of tourism acted in shooting itself in the foot by the last elections that took place when I was a candidate. And I think the UN Secretary General in New York must be able to say, did we have an anomaly that needs to be corrected so that it doesn't happen again? It doesn't happen again, where you find a lot of countries today are debating, should we or should we not be a member of the UNWTO? And that is echoed every day. Messages after my court case a week ago have shown that so many countries are questioning the need to be part of the UNWTO.
And Alain, we actually have seen it again. And that's, again, my opinion. You remember there it was another election just in January. And this was the election for the second term of the Secretary General. Many people have said that the current Secretary General, who took power after this big mistake, what looks like happened in Madrid in 2017, now triggered another big mistake. We're in the midst of COVID. When he was a candidate, of course, to be re-elected for this post, it became very obvious among membership, among member countries, that his focus for the last years he was Secretary General was clearly to benefit member countries of the executive, members of the executive board. You haven't seen any activities at UNWTO outside this group. And why is this? Because the Executive Council or Executive Group, are those that would recommend for the election, for a candidate for the new election for UNWTO. So these are the people voting. It's not everyone is voting. Now, at the end of the game, this recommendation is brought forward to the General Assembly, and then the General Assembly has to, what is in most cases, rubber stamp this already decision done by the Executive Council. So what happened this year? In September of last year, the current Secretary General, who is from the country of Georgia, not the US state, the country of Georgia, and who was an ambassador of Georgia, brought an Executive Council meeting to Georgia. At the very last minute, many of the usually in place rules and regulations were changed. We had reported about this in details, and it was decided in September to change the election to the Secretary General, what has usually taken place in March, April, or May, to January. So there was only about 3 months. There was only 3 months for new candidates to come forward in the midst of a very, very serious corona crisis, more serious than now because many, many more people were dying and the world was under curfew. No one could travel. So this was decided. And the reason for this decision, how Zurab sold it to the Executive Council, was FITUR, which is a major trade show in Madrid, what is happening every year in January. He knew very well at the time when he recommended, said, let's do this at the same time of FITUR because everyone would be coming to Madrid anyway, what makes sense. But he knew very well that just about 3-4 days after this event in Georgia, FITUR was canceled or was postponed. So this justification no longer stood. Then I know the current Secretary General, the previous Secretary General, Dr. Taleb Rifai, and also Mr. Vrangeli, who was Secretary General before Taleb Rifai, wrote a letter, and we at the World Tourism Network facilitated this petition to Zurab to please rethink the timing on this, to allow also other candidates to step forward so there would be a competition like there was in 2017. He refused to do this. Since this was a crisis in the world and tourism was closed and everyone was probably very busy with situations in their own region and country, no one stepped forward except one candidate from Bahrain. And when this candidate then finally arrived in Madrid for the election, she had very little opportunity. She had no time. There was literally just weeks to campaign, and she couldn't travel because the world was closed. So the chances for her to be elected was very slim. In addition, ministers of tourism that usually come to Madrid and vote couldn't come to Madrid. So they sent their embassy staff. And guess what? Zurab was the ambassador for Georgia in Madrid for many years. He knows all the embassy staff. They're all his buddies. So he already know how this election would go. And to top it off, there was supposed to be a dinner on the night before the election. And what happened at the dinner? The prime minister traveled in from Georgia and he was hosting the dinner. So that really made Bahrain so upset. So the other candidate didn't show up at the dinner. So it was a dinner with one candidate and the election happened the next day and Zurab was election. So it was elected. So obviously this fraud, in my opinion, and I'm the one saying this, happened now the second time. So we're not even done with the first time because of the recent development in the Seychelles and with Alain. And what do you think could be done? I mean, if you mentioned the United Nations in New York, what could United Nations in New York do to rectify this?
Okay, I think it is the UNWTO is a branch, a satellite branch of the UN, of the United Nations body. And I think the United Nations needs to keep an eye on what happens with all its satellite bodies. It is important, otherwise the UN starts being, the United States starts being disgruntled, and you find that there is let them be themselves. You know, they are a little group in New York, but a little group in New York, a little group in Madrid, a little group in Kenya, a little group in other countries where they are based. Before you know, everybody thinks of themselves. And we must stop that. The elections of the UNWTO, I think, would make more sense if every country who was a member voted. So you would not be able to be buying countries anymore. There are too many. So if every country voted, and countries would be voting in the elections in Madrid. Campaigning must stop days before. You cannot have a dinner the day before the election hosted by your prime minister or president. This is corruption in broad daylight. You can't have that because you're enticing the voter to be moving into your own area of comfort. So we need to be relooking at it. Otherwise, we will destroy these satellite bodies that are meant to bring the world together. Today, if you were a country and you say, what is UNWTO doing for the country, apart from member states that are sitting in the executive, most of the countries would say, nothing. Even though a European country, and this I got after the Bahrain try for the elections themselves this year, when a country said, they can do two terms, let them do two terms. This is sad. Sad when we don't look at the potential of candidates or what can be better for the world of tourism, and we just take the easy approach. The world of tourism must move, and the world around the United Nations must become more vigilant in looking at how its satellite bodies are operating. Otherwise, let's take the name UN out of it and just call it World Tourism Organization. If it has the word United Nations in front of it, the United Nations Secretary General must have a look at it, get its legal team to look at it, get its the areas that looks at the etiquette, or has it been well done? Has it been done in a correct manner to really have the label UN ahead of it? If it is not there, let's drop the UN word and let WTO be WTO for the little group that stays as members. And let's maybe have in New York, a branch in New York that says tourism, another one that says oil and whatever other areas, forestry, conservation, blue economy, and all sorts of other areas of concern. Let us not fool ourselves that we have a body just for the sake of having a body. It must truly represent the world of tourism if it is the UN WTO, because it has the word UN ahead of it.
And I couldn't agree more with you. And this world needs leadership. We're in a crisis, and this crisis is directly attacking the travel and tourism industry everywhere on this globe. And we need to get out of this crisis, because how many jobs are affected by this? Tourism is 10% of our global economy. And in some countries like Seychelles, it's way more than 10%. In some other countries, it's a little bit less. But if you do the average, it's 10% of the global economy. So it's a huge industry. It's one of our largest industries. And it's also, of course, on the political sense, it means power, it means opportunities when it comes to investments, to relations. It's a peace industry after all. What I don't understand, and maybe you wouldn't know the answer, but what I don't understand, having seen what has been going on in UNWTO now for the last few years, why are member countries going along with this? Why is no one saying anything? Is it only up to the media to say something and no one is listening?
You see, the politics is a very difficult beast to deal with. Politics, there is nothing for the country. They let it go. I think we will start losing member states. We will start losing member states because they can't really be kicked out. If they don't pay, they don't participate. When they want to pay, they'll come back and participate again. But this will be Zurab, who is today the Secretary General. The legacy of Zurab will be decided after his era. As much as people love Taleb Rifai or Frangieli, what would be the legacy of Zurab? And there it is, not Serbia. I like Serbia. I like the Serbian people a lot. It is the man who today was elected on the name of his country. But what would be the legacy of the UNWTO? Are we killing it? Are we destroying it? Can today a country take any country from South America to the Pacific, to the Caribbean, to the Indian Ocean Islands, to Africa mainland, say, yes, we've had leadership that has changed the world of tourism for my country? Nobody can say. Not one. If we were working, you would be seen. You'd be transparent. We would know how WTO and IATA are working together to reopen the world of tourism. And this is what is needed today. But IATA already branches in with the cruise ships of the world, with the big yachts of the world. All these are areas that we can explore, navigate together, and bring satellite offices of the UNWTO around the four corners of the world to really bring tourism into an area where when you have a problem, UNWTO is there with you, by your side. You can be in the Pacific or in ASEAN bloc or in the Americas or the Indian Ocean in Africa. We must find that leadership. Otherwise, it is useless having it. And if every president around the world takes note that if a world body, which we pay for membership, is not doing its job, then it's useless being part of the body. And if we all left, there would be no such bodies, and it'll all crumble. That is the only barometer that keeps them alive, and it is for them to be able to be accountable for what they do, and to be able to be accountable for what they are doing for each and every state that is a member state of the UNWTO, and in so doing, the United Nations.
And it's really, it comes out, this leadership, what is missing. And there are a few people that stepping up to the plate, and you're definitely one of them, because even though you don't have a position in UNWTO, people listen to you, people look up to you, and people invite you to speak, not only at this interview here with Etobo News, but invite you to speak at major events because you have a vision. And with you, as I said, in my opinion, there is Edmund Bartlett from Jamaica, who is the Minister of Tourism. He sees way beyond Jamaica. And there's a new kid on the block, and it's not a kid, it's a giant. It's Saudi Arabia. The Minister of Tourism from Saudi Arabia really put his money where his ideas are. And we're talking about billions. No one else has this type of money. So it is a whole different way of seeing how this industry can be shaped. Is it the right way? Is it the wrong way? How do we work with a country like Saudi Arabia? These are all questions. But there is some, I would say, some encouragement in this industry. People are stepping up. It's not maybe the leadership of UNWTO, what we're all hoping for, but there are certain elements in the world that are coming together. And that is, I think, is encouraging. What would be your wish list for the future of UNWTO or for world tourism to wrap this up?
Well, the elections have just been done. So we have the status quo for another 3 years. It won't move, it's going to be there. But can the world of tourism sit and do nothing? No, this is catastrophic. We need to follow the example of Minister Bartlett in Jamaica, a good friend, a capable leader in the world of tourism. We need to follow the example of Saudi Arabia, who have moved goalposts for them to say, we can make changes. Maybe what we need to do is to find a way for those that are willing and able to be together, to work together, to position the world of tourism together outside the control of the UNWTO, and make things happen. Because every country in the world, Jamaica depends on Europe or the Americas. Seychelles depends on the rest of the world to be able to make its tourism industry work, because we get a little bit from everywhere. And we are lucky because we are small and we don't need the millions. We have quality tourism and we need to keep on pushing for this. Saudi Arabia is a country that has come forward to position itself well in that part of the world. Maybe we need to find a way that we all work together. Today, I realize that Saudi Arabia has recruited an excellent lady from the world of tourism, excellent personality of tourism, to lead its tourism industry or to be part and parcel of the leadership of its tourism industry. Can that kingdom, Jamaica, Seychelles, parts of Africa, you have Minister Balala in Kenya. There are so many of us that are able, that are willing to sit together and give leadership to the world of tourism. Can it be done? Of course it can be done. We just need to be able to have that catalyst that brings us together. Maybe Saudi Arabia can be the catalyst. But if Edmund Bartlett would leave Jamaica and meet somewhere where Saudi Arabia, Seychelles, and different countries of Africa, Asia, the Pacific, and the Americas would sit together, would we not be able to say it is being done at the right time when tourism needs leadership for the kickstarting of the tourism industry? Never forget, Jorgen, that as countries reopen, we will all be fishing from the same pond for the potential travelers. So we need to be able to ensure that this pond is not contracting like the North Pole. It is expanding itself. So we have a bigger pond for the world of tourism to fish from it. And to make it work, we then need the access. So we need to work with the air access. We need to have to ensure that airlines are not breaking their backs and closing the doors, that we keep them afloat. And then we also look at maritime access so that together the world of tourism can kickstart. This year is gone, but next year is coming fast. We need to do it sooner rather than later.
Oh, and thank you, Alain. And as you know, we've all tried to do our little part, and specifically from our end, when we started our rebuilding travel discussion back in March of 2010, this was the very first discussion when no one really took COVID as such a serious threat. Mm-hmm. And you were there from the beginning again. Alain was right there. And we were able, just from a private initiative, we're not a government, so that's a different animal altogether. But as a private initiative, we were able to bring members in 128 countries together, finally formed the World Tourism Network in December of last year, what is now a sizable organization with many discussions, with many talents, both on the public sector and the private sector. And so the world can come together and everyone can do a little part of it. And we're very proud to have Alain of being not only a board member, but also a tourism hero in the World Tourism Network. And we're hoping to continue our work with Alain and like-minded people. And also we really wish and can hope that the governments are coming together within the UNWTO and straighten out the situation. Because as you said, it is important. We are going through a crisis. There is no time for favorism. We all have to step up to the plate.
Alain. There's one last line that I'd like to tell you before leaving. And it's a line that I use often. The world at large, when you're representing member states, we must have round pegs in round holes and square pegs in square holes. It is a colleague hotel manager from Seychelles who's now in Australia who coined that phrase way back. And he told me every time when I became Minister of Tourism, he said, ensure that in your ministry you have round pegs in round holes and square pegs in square holes. Otherwise you will fail badly. I succeeded in my years as Minister of Tourism because I always looked at the ability of people and not look at how best to just make myself cozy and finish my term. The world must move, and let the world move faster than it is doing.
Thank you, Alain. This was a fascinating conversation. It was a lot longer than we had planned, but I think it was worth every word of it. And I hope you have a nice weekend in the Seychelles. You stay healthy. I understand you have both of your shots of vaccine, so you're in good shape when it comes to this. And thank you again. And I hope we can do this more often because
thank you very much. Gladly.
It takes people like Alain really to move and shape this industry and shake it a little bit. We need to shake it a little bit.
Maybe next time do one with Bartlett and Saudi Arabia together.
We'll do this. Thank you very much. And I can only say aloha from our part of the world. Merci. Bonjour.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Take care. Yes. Bye-bye.
Au revoir. Bye.